As I worked with the theme for this service, which is all about the kind of listening that brings us closer to our truest selves, the kind of listening that is more connected to a deeper wisdom, the kind of listening that for some is like a prayer, a making room for the divine or the holy, the God of many names, the kind of listening that allows love itself to speak to us and through us. I was reminded of the Reverend Ralph Warnock, who is the American Baptist pastor and the junior United States Senator from Georgia. He served since 2021. And he said that a vote is a kind of prayer for the world that we desire for ourselves and for our children. And I think our prayers are stronger when we pray together. I think that's true of anything we do. As a people of faith, or if you don't like that word, as Unitarian Universalists, we believe in possibility and the power of creation, shared creation, in fact, most specifically. And we even have a code, a lexicon for that possibility that I don't talk about very much, but it's called the Kingdom of Heaven rather than Kingdom. That phrase was first popularized by Ada Maria Isasi Diaz. It's not kingdom with the hierarchy and the patriarchy that's implied in a gendered God, but kingdom. And she says, kingdom happens when the fullness of God is realized. All will be kin together. And isn't that exactly what we talk about in our interconnected world and the way that we know we need each other to survive? I think that one of the ways to realize that fullness is through deep listening. In all of its forms, and prayer can be one of those forms. And who would have thought, but I learned recently that improv theater can be one of those ways too. 2 weeks ago, I was at a minister's retreat in New Hampshire, and the Reverend Julica Herman de la Fuente did an embodied anti-racism training with 36 ministers from Northern New England. She used the principles and the exercises of the Theater of the Oppressed. Has anyone heard of the Theater of the Oppressed? Yeah. It's an approach to anti-racism work that uses techniques familiar to anyone who's ever done improv acting. And the exercise that I found most moving, the one that I participated in, was when we were asked to create sculptures with our bodies. Sculptures using 5 or 6 people that would illustrate a problem we had in our congregation. Once this problem had been named, we had to move ourselves into a position that used complete and total silence, only our bodies, and then to hold that position while everyone else walked around us, also without voices, in order to take in the sculpted message. The problem I was part of acting out was how many of our New England congregations say that we desperately want more diversity in our congregations. We want folks of all backgrounds and kinds to feel welcome. That is true, and yet, when folks arrive in our doors, we so often give mixed messages. So the sculpture was a group of people standing, looking at a person of color who was being simultaneously pushed away with the little love symbol in their hand, pushed away, good intentions. And I was a person holding onto their name tag, almost choking them by the throat as I tried to hold on to them. Looking down, rather embarrassed at my behavior. We held that in silence, and the longer it was held in silence, the more moving it became. In the silence of that creation, in the movement of our bodies, a hard and tender truth emerged that words couldn't have described. That behavior asked us to be vulnerable and honest in ways that we seldom are, putting ourselves and our contradictions on display, making public mistakes, and then somehow trying to stay present and engaged. It invoked the remembering that this work we do is absolutely real. It impacts real people in real time. It is necessary and urgent. In the work, there were tears, but there was also rest, and there was this beautiful truth. In the end, as a practice of closing, Julika lifted up the work of Reverend Sean Parker Dennison. And she introduced a practice that I was familiar with and that I love, that I had first been introduced to by the author Elizabeth Gilbert, which is a form of deep listening to ourselves, to our heart, to God, whatever you call, through the process of letter writing or journaling. It's a process of asking a question to something bigger than ourselves, but also ourselves. Call it love or mystery, whatever. And then you sit in silence after you've written that letter and you wait, hopefully patiently, for an answer. After a few moments, you begin to write back to yourself from the being that you originally wrote to, or the source or the force. And you listen and read, knowing that whatever answer comes will be the answer you need to hear. I thought I'd illustrate this for you this morning using the work of Reverend Dennison. Here is his first letter. A letter to our better angels. Dear angels, it seems important to begin by making it clear that we are not talking about celestial winged beings. This letter is addressed instead to our better selves, the people we hope we will be when necessary. We might also note that we more often excel at our self-appointed role as advocate for the devil, a requisite position that is also, if you ask us, not literal but theoretical, and therefore without consequence. We are writing to let you know that we feel your presence is insufficient and unpredictable, and when we inquire about how to make you more dependable, we are offended by and opposed to the level of accountability required. We are hoping to make arrangements for an increase in the percentage of goodness and presence of admirable qualities in ourselves and in others, especially in others. We respectfully request that this come easily and with immediate delivery, a dependable warranty, and at no extra cost. We would be more pleased if it could be arranged for us to become better people without needing to change or to consider any needs but our own. It would also please us if our status as increasingly good could be noted, perhaps a cookie, a badge, a halo, so long as it's comfortable. We hope you will consider our request as soon as humanly possible, not in angel time. We have already waited a long time, unaware of the seriousness of this situation, the disrepair to our reputation. Please expedite our request. We have only just noticed that the world is ending.
Dear one, we have received your letter, and we hate to tell you, not hate so much, but are a bit afraid to say we cannot grant your wishes as requested, but can only remind you of a few familiar things. First, faith. Faith in yourself and trust in others. We know it can be terrifying to be vulnerable, but only when you share your softest side will we be able to break through. Next, hope. Hope is not an empty fairy tale. It is the true story of all the times human beings like you have found a way to create the future, though you didn't know how. And of course, love. Love that demands you cherish all people, not just yourself and safety. Love that is not satisfied until every argument ends abruptly when one child says, "That hurts." There is so much to learn and relearn. The world teaches you to be hard, to negotiate and defend, to avoid giving too much and to the wrong people. There are no wrong people. You also are not wrong, and when you enter the poor, the broken, the unhoused, and unwelcome, you are looking, if you pay attention at us, calling you to answer your own prayers. If you want to change the world, first, be sure you are changing yourself. Be tender, be kind, be at peace, be all the things you wish for. Be your own better self. It isn't without cost, but it will be free.
These brief remarks will be followed by the postlude right after. We'll skip the closing hymn, if that's okay with Martha and Sarah. But I want to repeat these words. Love that demands you cherish all people, not just yourself and safety. Love that is not satisfied until every argument ends abruptly when one child says, "That hurts." And there are no wrong people. And we must do the work of learning and unlearning. And we are called to answer our own prayers, creating the kingdom that on some level already exists. I wonder, when I asked you in Joys and Sorrows, and Kayla asked at the Time for All Ages to take a moment to think about who or what you would address your letter to, what gratitude or plea would you offer, what wisdom arose, did you have time to receive an answer? Probably not. But maybe you'll take time this week, some morning or evening, to sit quietly and hear what you need to hear. Maybe you already know it and it lives in your body instead of words. Trust that. Trust that deeply. When I did this practice myself just this morning in the wee hours before dawn, it is so dark at 4 a.m. now. I heard in my own heart an urging to say the following. And it means I'm going to break the rules just a little. Because this is a free pulpit. And because I'm speaking as myself, not on behalf of this church. And though I know that there's no perfect anybody or anyone, and that the two-party system is broken in ways unimaginable, I want to say out loud that I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris on Tuesday. There are so many reasons, of course, but the most relevant one for me is a snippet from her acceptance speech at the DNC a few months ago. She said, "And with this election, our nation has a precious, fleeting opportunity to move past the bitterness, cynicism, and divisive battles of the past, a chance to forge a new way forward, not as members of any one party or faction, but as Americans." She said, "I know there are people of many different political views watching tonight. I want you to hear me say, I promise to be a president for all Americans. You can trust me to put the country above party and self, to hold sacred America's fundamental principles, from the rule of law, free and fair elections, to the peaceful transfer of power." I don't know if she can make good on that promise. I believed her when she said it. I think it matters. In the quiet of listening, in the depths of sorrow or fear, I hear a call to remember who we are. My vote is a prayer for the world I want to live in. Even if it's just one tiny, minuscule step in the right direction. A world where disagreement doesn't lead to dehumanization and violence and the removal of rights. A world that remembers the precious, fleeting nature of life itself. For me, holy listening equals a return to that enduring love that holds us all. It was the author and poet Ross Gay who said that though attending to what we hate in common is so often all the rage, and it happens also to be very big business, noticing what we love in common might help us survive. So I leave you today with these words from Reverend Drew Patton, who is the Associate Pastor for Justice and Outreach of the First Presbyterian Church in Berkeley. If they ever ask you, which side are you on? Tell them plainly, I side with the people, with the precious ones, all the integral, the soft, and the fierce, irreplaceable, the beloved, if only by God and trees, who were born, who breathe, and survive. Say I side with those who keep watch beneath the bright screaming arc of bombs, with those who hide in dark doorways or who through the moonlight flee, and with those who stay and fight, and with those who kept up all night by hunger and grief and terror and rage, by desperate, unruly hope, who are good and green at the root, who are more than the worst day and the worst thing that they've done, who do their best to love and still pass on the hurt in themselves anyway, the hurt that they hate. But what about, they might say, when they take sides against each other, the people against even themselves? Then I say, side with whatever is human in them, what is fragile and feeling and flesh. Side with the truth of our stories and the fact of our pain. Side with defiant insistence on freedom. Side there again and again. Side there today and tomorrow. Side there for the rest of your life. Side there together until we belong, each one to every other. If ever they ask you, which side are you on? Say, it doesn't work like that. Tell them you side with the people and abide where the people are at. May it be so, and amen.